and probably fasting. And that way, when you don't have any unbelief left in you, you're not afraid to take on that spirit, and it will have to leave.
Yes.
But that authority in Jesus comes by hard work in the Word and in the Spirit, saying, God, give me more faith so I don't shudder. And I can remember years ago when I thought, you know, and growing up, and this was because of my background, I thought, you know, maybe if I just don't get the devil too shook up, he'll leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And I was really, I have to, it's hard for me to say this, but I was really a little bit afraid of the devil. Now I don't fear him at all. Mm-hmm. But that new confidence and that new strength has come by increasing my word level. Yes. And increasing my faith.
Praise God. Praise
right.
the Lord.
Amen. So it can happen.
That's right. Yes, you were saying in verse 29 that this kind, and it's important to realize he wasn't talking about the disease or the demon possession or the illness, and that's important to state that, because he was talking, although those things are terrible, he was talking about a worse thing of unbelief. And he says this unbelief, because the disciples, just before that, had said, why can't we do this, Lord? Why can't we make this happen? And they were asking, where was their inadequacy? And he said, your inadequacy is in unbelief. You are in unbelief. And in order to get rid of this unbelief, you need to pray and fast. You know, fasting is a great way to get yourself in one accord with God. Your senses become sharpened when you're fasting. You know, when people eat a lot of food, like after Thanksgiving, they eat a lot of turkey. What's the thing they do? They like to go to sleep. They like to sleep. I mean, it brings on almost a grogginess after we've eaten a lot of food.
Oh, I slept real good last night. I had a big Mexican dinner.
Yes, you did. And so he's saying here, when you're praying and especially fasting along
right.
with that, all of your faculties become so sharpened, and that's important that we are that way.
You know, right now, I mean, at this moment, I'll use the word immediately.
Immediately.
One of the favorite words here of Mark, but I saw in the spirit a vision of being in the kitchen and holding a quart jar that was empty. And I went over and I turned on the faucet and I put about a teaspoon of water in the bottom of that quart jar. Now, I think that's where a lot of people are. They have a teaspoon of faith, but they have a large container. Now, if we said the emptiness, the part that's vacant in that jar, the void, would be unbelief. Now, if I'm going to eradicate that unbelief, I've got to fill that jar up there, so to speak, with water. Or with faith, if I'm talking in the spirit here. Maybe that will help some of you understand. If you have just a tiny bit of faith, you had enough faith to come to Jesus, but you still see you don't have enough faith to pray and get over that cold, or pray and get over that financial speed bump, or whatever it is, then you've got to have more faith. Well, God has given you the container. That's your heart. And you can have more faith, but you've got to seek it, pursue it, go after it, ask for it. And the way you do that is the more time you spend in the Word and the more scriptures you know well, I would say even memorize, the greater faith level you'll have, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So as you confess the Word, and that's why we put out the Power Pack, the scripture cards, is we want you to take that card out, put it in your pocket, take it out, speak it out until you've got it memorized. And let me tell you, the more of those scriptures that you know, the less unbelief you will have. Now, there's still some areas of unbelief in my life. I know God could do it, but I'm still in presumption in some of those areas. I want to eradicate that with the Word. Mm-hmm. And I can do it, but it's going to take some time. And folks, we're not talking about something that is easy. This is hard work to stay focused on the Word, because the devil is going to come around and try to get you distracted.
Well, and I believe that's why God gives us 70 years plus 10, generally speaking, 80 years on this earth, because we learn so much, and especially when we have a foundation of the Word in our lives. When I was 20 or 30, I was immature in a lot of areas, and I believe as we get older, God gives us the opportunity to learn and to teach the younger ones. God, praise the Lord. Well, our last miracle here, miracle number 21, occurs in Mark 10:46, and Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. And there was a large, huge multitude, as always was, that followed them. And a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. I can just hear this man. You know, he didn't have eyes to see, but boy, did he have a voice. And he used his voice to get Jesus' attention. And it really bothered bothered the disciples and people around him. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped. Oh, I love this. I love Jesus. He's just so precious. He's always ready to help us. And he stopped and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, arise, he is calling for you." And casting aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Man, he didn't care. Pride was no issue here. He didn't care how he looked. He didn't care what condition he was in, man. He was going to go see the healing Jesus, the healing Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said, "Rabbi," or Rabboni, "teacher, master, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way." Jesus didn't say, "My faith has made you whole." He says, "Bartimaeus, your faith." Now that's probably the third time in these miracles that Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole."
Now,
that's so important.
When this blind man came to Jesus, he could have had a lot of things. He said, "I've got a sister-in-law that's just bugging me. Would you do something about her?"
Mm-hmm.
Or it could have said, "I can't pay my rent, I need some money." Mm-hmm. No, but he was focused on what the thing that he wanted most. He wanted his sight. And he believed this man, Jesus, Rabboni, the teacher, could give him that sight. He'd never had the sight.
Mm-hmm. We've actually had people that were blind and they've come to our meetings and their request was, like you said, something other than I need healing. It was like, I'm having trouble with my job and I need to have favor with my job, or something else, or I need rides for work, that kind of thing. But it was really interesting. They didn't ask for healing.
Now, earlier on in this chapter, one of my favorite verses, and I'm probably going to change my license plate to this one here, but it says, "Looking upon them, Jesus said, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God.'" So in other words, Jesus had already laid the groundwork with his disciples and the people that could hear what he said, that there's nothing impossible. Why, I'm a blind man, that's no problem, we can take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe we have to get to that, and folks, again, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to work and work and work. If it's of interest and value to you, you're going to have to work and work and work to increase your faith.
That's
otherwise,
right.
You're going to be like that dad there with the son with this terrible problem. Can you imagine what it would be like to have that kid in the house and, you know, you don't dare let him near a pond of water. The demon will throw him in there.
Or fire.
You know, you're trying to have a family dinner and the kid falls down on the floor and the spirit causes him foam at the mouth and he's kicking the chairs and doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, that's what that father had experienced.
Mm-hmm.
But his father said, "I want my boy. I love my boy and I want him healed. I want him delivered."
That's right. After the first hour of teaching, I was impressed. Jeff, our engineer, says, "You know, God doesn't have to pump iron." And I thought, whoa, this is really good. Yeah, and it's so true. God doesn't have to pump iron. He doesn't have to,
get work it
more
up.
Mighty than he already is. He is mighty enough to take care of every situation in your life. And I believe that's important to know, that with men, with a physical, it's impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with him. Darren, before we get into the possible realm that you've been teaching at the seminars and in meetings, and
get into the impossible realm.
Get into the possible, I
there
said.
You go. Okay,
I said
making
possible.
Sure.
Yes, I did say possible realm. And the word miracle is used in, I want to explain and bring some definitions to the word miracle. In the Hebrew, it's number 4159, and I'm not going to dwell on that, but 4592, and these are all Strong's numbers, number 4592, and these are Hebrew. It means sign or signal or indication. And I believe it's so important to know that when a miracle is taking place, it's an indication of the supernatural and the spiritual right there, present with you.
Well, I would say this, you know, if you're going to operate here, you're going to have to learn to know that you have something when you can't see it with your
yes.
physical eyes. You're going to have to hold on to it.
Yes. And before we get to the second half here, I want to explain number 6381, which is Paul Law. And it's to be, to make great, wonderful, to separate. See, we're separating the physical and the spiritual, bringing down the spiritual into our lives. Things too high, marvelous, wonderful things. And then the Greek is 1411, dunamis, force, power, to be able or make possible, miraculous force, abundance, and mighty deed. praise God for the miracles that we can experience in our lives.
Well, and you also have, and thank you, Barb, for the notes here. That helps me stay on track. But miracles are supernatural occurrences, not of this world, so we must live.